Amen and good morning. My name is Julia Holtz. I am the spiritual formation pastor here, and I am really glad to be with you this morning. How many of you can relate to some of the words that Maria said? Maybe you are a stay-at-home parent, maybe you work full-time, maybe you're retired, but those words like busyness, mundane tasks, anxious feelings of am I enough, tired, all those different things. Anybody relate to some of those words? Maybe in this season, but we've all been in seasons like that, right? But then Maria talked about something. She talked about that she would do certain things that would reconnect her and that Jesus would fill her. He would restore her life. He would restore her right in the middle of those moments. What we're saying is that is reconnecting to the resurrected life. We are in the middle of a series called, actually we're at the end of a series called A Day in the Life, and it all came out of Easter. Easter, where we talked about Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose again. He was resurrected so that he would bring us the resurrected life. And so 4 weeks we have been unpacking, what is this resurrected life? That's what we want to understand together so we can live it. Now, before I go any further, I do want to invite our ushers to come forward to receive today's offering. If you are a guest here, by all means, feel free to let that basket go by. This is for our regular attenders. And I just want to say, way to go, church. You are a giving church, and we are about bringing the resurrected life into this building, out into the community, and out into the world, and you are having an impact. So way to go. But we've been unpacking this resurrected life. And the first week, Jen Alexander, do you remember this? She kicked it off and she gave us our theme verse that comes from Romans 8:11. She said this, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." This is where the whole resurrected life starts. "And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." It all starts there. Jen said that we begin by in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We surrender our lives in order to learn to walk more and more in the Spirit. And then the next 2 weeks, Pastor Ryan, our lead pastor, gave great messages. If you haven't seen these three, I encourage you to go back and watch them. And he talked about the second week, how do you find life in your work? How do you find that resurrected life? And he talked about it's not our job's job to give us life, that we bring life into our jobs. And then the next week, he talked about how do we bring the resurrected life to others, and he talked about CPR, cultivate, plant, and reap. Remember this? So that brings us to today. And one thing I was thinking is, my mom always said, I feel a little bit like Forrest Gump. My mama always said, but my mom didn't have a Southern accent. But this is what she said, God has such a sense of humor. And I would come home from school, and she'd be laughing and shaking her head, and she'd go, Julia, God has such a sense of humor. He is teaching me something right now, and I just wasn't getting it, but I'm starting to get it. Well, I just got to tell you, God has such a sense of humor. I'm shaking my head right now. See, about 2 months ago, we were meeting to talk more about this series. We planned them out pretty far in advance, and the person who was taking the lead on it went through the different weeks, and she got to the fourth week, and she said, and Julia, we're going to want you to speak on the topic of rest. Now, I'm not typically a whiner, but I started whining. I don't want to talk about rest. I'm always the one to talk about rest. I've done it on Labor Day a couple times. I did it last summer when we did the 10. I don't want to talk about rest. They ignored me. And they just said, well, think about it. And so I went home. I was kind of harumphing home. And I just went, okay, God, I don't have anything new. What do you want me to talk about with rest? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just started stirring in me. It wasn't an audible word, but I just kind of felt this, well, let's first take a look at your life. And I went, oh, no. I am your spiritual formation pastor. I am passionate about a rhythm of rest. I do certain things to keep a rhythm of rest. And guess what? I had completely lost my rest. I had completely lost it. I was irritable. I was frustrated. Everything was just bugging me. I was trying so hard to get on top of my to-do list. Anybody relate to this? I had this to-do list, and I was sure the harder I worked, the more I would get through it. And so I actually kind of became like a machine. I disconnected and I just was plowing through. And God said, yeah, we got to start with you. Let's get that rhythm of rest back. And so I am really hopeful today that this message is going to touch you. I'm a little concerned because the Bible says he will leave the 99 for the one. So I am really hoping this is not all about me. But I will tell you, I have learned a lot in the last 2 months, been reminded of some things, and I'm walking more and more in the resurrected life through a rhythm of rest. But I know that some of you can relate to this. I know it. You know, one of the reasons we came up with this series was because we heard from you that you were restless, that you were bored, you were frustrated. What is this resurrected life? In fact, Pastor Ryan, the last 2 times that he has preached, he's had a couple of men come up to him, and with tears in their eyes, they have shared that they work all day long, and then they go home, and they're supposed to be this great dad, and they don't have much left for their kids. And what do they do? So I know you relate to this. And here's the reality. We are restless because we rest less. We are restless because we rest less. God wants something for us. And it is through a rhythm of rest that we begin to experience the rhythm of life, or the resurrected life. And when I'm talking rest, I'm not just talking about a nap. Okay? Just so you know, I do believe naps are very holy, okay? You have full permission from me to go home and have a nap today. So naps are good, but I'm talking about something deeper, deeper than just good sleep. I am talking about a rest that God describes that reconnects us. See, busyness disconnects us. This kind of rest that we're going to talk about reconnects us. Reconnects us to the things that are most important in the world. That's what we're talking about today. A rhythm of rest reconnects us to the resurrected life. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to look back at the Old Testament scriptures. We're going to look at the book of Exodus. I'm going to talk about that story for a little bit. Then we are going to go and look at what Jesus said about it, because we read the Bible through the filter of Jesus, particularly the Old Testament. We now have Jesus to read it through that filter. And then I'm going to end with talking about some very practical tips on how you can begin to re-engage in the resurrected life through a rhythm of rest. That's what we're going to do this morning. So let's start by looking back. We're going to look at the story of Exodus. I'm going to just paraphrase parts of it. And when I say story, I want to make sure you know I'm not saying a fable. I'm telling a true story that we find on the people of Israel in the Word of God. And in Exodus, the people of God, Israelites, are slaves in Egypt. They are held captive. They are slave mastered by the Pharaoh himself. And all day long, they have to obey his wishes. And their primary responsibility was to make bricks. You've all seen the pyramids made out of these stones and bricks. They were the ones that made the bricks day after day after day. I want you to say that word bricks with me so you can feel this. Let's say it 5 times together. Bricks, 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 bricks. Can you feel that? The mundane tasks of making bricks. Now, on top of this, they had a quota that they had to fulfill every day. And if they did not produce enough bricks and it would increase over time, then they were concerned because they were valued by that. They were beaten if they didn't make that quota and often eliminated or killed. So their whole value and worth was based on what they could produce. They became human doings, not human beings. This was their life. And here's what's interesting is I read through Exodus, I saw two major reactions to this from the slaves, from the Israelites. They had 2 sets of mindsets. One of them was a mindset of frustration. You could see them taking out their frustrations. They would get in fights. They would get in arguments. They were frustrated with their situation and didn't know how to get it, so wanted to fight and work harder and get their way out of it. The other mindset was a mindset of futility. Futility. I just got to give up. There is no purpose to my life. There is no value. I am just a slave. I just got to do this job. So they waffled back and forth between frustration and futility. I wonder if any of you can relate to that. I wonder if some of you might be in a situation right now and maybe you're feeling frustrated. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it is in your job. And you're frustrated. You can't get on top of everything. And just things are driving you crazy. And you're just working harder and harder and harder to try and figure it out. Or maybe some of you have a mindset of futility. You get up in the morning. You check your phone. How's the weather? How's the news? You get up, you have your breakfast. If you have kids, you make breakfast for your kids. You get them off to school. Then you go to work. You go to meetings all day, and then you check thousands of emails a day. You come home. You're supposed to have some energy. You make dinner. You all have dinner together. You try, maybe play a game with your kids. You check the phone a couple more times that any emails or texts come in that I better check. And finally, you just collapse in bed at night, and you get up the next day, and you start it all over. That's my life. That's the season I'm living in. I wonder if you can relate to that, frustration or futility. If that's you, I have good news. There's a third option. Yeah, it's a mindset of freedom. A mindset of freedom. No matter what your circumstances are, God wants to change your mindset so that no matter where you are, you have this mindset of freedom, and it reconnects you through a rhythm of life, through a rhythm of rest to the resurrected life. See, that's what Exodus is about. It's not just about freeing the slaves from their circumstances. It is about changing their mindset from being about the mundane, futility, frustration, restlessness, to a mindset of freedom. Here's what God did. He came in, he rescued them from Egypt, and he took them into the wilderness. Now, some of you are going, yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. God, rescue me from this situation. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes he plucks us out. Most of the times he works through it. In this case, he rescued them from Egypt. He took them into the wilderness. Now, here's what's interesting. The circumstances weren't that much easier. Take a look at this picture. I was able to go to Israel last October, and we actually spent a half day where we walked in a part of what they call the wilderness, the desert. And it's not easy. It is cold at night. It is hot during the day. There are rocks everywhere, caves, not produce, not animals, things like that. There are some animals, but it's just rugged and difficult. And this is where God led them into the wilderness. But you know what? At least they were free. They were no longer under the slave mastery of the Pharaoh. And one of the first commands that God gives them is, as you go through life, I want you to take one day a week and stop working. I want you to stop working, rest for one day a week. God began building a rhythm of rest into their life almost immediately. Why? See, slaves are people who work all the time. Free people take time to rest, to relax. And there was something that would happen as the slaves were being changed to learn how to be free by taking one day off. They began to reconnect to what was important. They reconnected to God. See, in order to take that one day off, they had to trust God. They had to trust that 6 days of work would be enough and that God was big enough to handle everything else and provide for them for that seventh day. So this rest, this day of rest, was building their trust and their faith in him. Now, the other thing it did is by resting for a day, it reconnected them to their own souls. They were not human doings. They were human beings. And they had to remember that. But then it also reconnected them to one another in community. they were required to enjoy each other, to do things that they enjoyed. They'd look into their faces and go, I remember you, instead of being in that zone of working, working, working. They would take that day to rest and reconnect with God, with their own souls, and with one another. God was at work. For 40 years, they walked in the wilderness, and he was reframing, reshaping their mindset. Some of them did well with it. Some of them did. Some of them struggled. They wanted to go back to Egypt. It would have been easier back there. But some of them, particularly that next generation, was learning how to walk in freedom. I heard it said many years ago that it did not take God 40 years to get the Israelites out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. Ooh, isn't that good? I'm going to say that again. It did not take God 40 years to get the Israelites out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get that mindset of slavery that was Egypt out of the Israelites. That's what God was doing by incorporating a rhythm of rest into their lives. He was reshaping the way they think. So, we could end there, and you could all go out and go, okay, I just need to take a day off a week. I can do that. But guess what happened? The Jews practiced this for centuries. But over time, instead of this being about something that would reconnect us in relationships, it turned into a bunch of rules. The religious leaders turned it into rules. You can do this. You can't do this. All of a sudden, it turned into doing again and rules. They messed it all up. This is what we do as humans. See, God is all about building relationships. Religion is all about following rules. And we try to master what God does and we turn it into rules. But God says, no, come back. It's about the relationships and reconnecting in relationships. So the Jews had turned it all into rules, and along comes Jesus. Jesus comes and he starts breaking these rules left and right. Oh, I love Jesus. I just love that he's a rule breaker. And Jesus comes, and there are seven different stories of Jesus breaking the Sabbath, that day off, breaking the Sabbath rules. Why? Because Jesus came to make things right. He came to reconnect us to the resurrected life. And so he was driving those religious leaders crazy, but he also began to live out what God really meant by a rhythm of rest that would reconnect us. Jesus was surrounded by crowds. You know, we can sit in, and yeah, he didn't have computers and texts and emails, but he had thousands of people wanting to meet with him every day. He could relate to what we experience. And so, but Jesus would practice different things. The Bible is clear. He stepped away to spend time with the Father, to rest and be connected to the Father. 23 different mentions in the stories of Jesus where he stepped out of the busyness to reconnect with the Father. He also showed ways that he was watching for the Father and staying connected throughout his days to the Father. One of my favorite stories is the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. For those of you who know the Bible, the religious leaders brought her, threw her before Jesus and said, what are you going to do with her? And the Bible says that Jesus got down on his knee and he began writing in the sand. And for centuries, people have wondered, what do you think he wrote in the sand? Was he writing this? All different theories. My favorite theory came from Pastor Luke Allison, who's one of our fabulous teachers here, and I'll never forget it. He said, do you think maybe Jesus was doodling? Do you think Jesus doodled in the sand? Was he just doing that while he was waiting, going, Father, what do you want me to do? Was he just pausing, breathing, going, okay, God, how do I handle this? See, this is what Jesus did. He would have a rhythm of rest, a moment throughout his days, as well as throughout his weeks, where he would reconnect to God the Father, to his own soul, to those around him. In fact, he even taught his disciples this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. what's going on here is Jesus had sent his disciples out. And he said, go and bring the kingdom. And they went out. They were having miracles happen through them. They were preaching and teaching on what the kingdom was all about. And they came back so excited. And I don't know about you, but when I have an encounter with God, I just want to do more, okay? I just want, let's go do more. Let's go touch more people. Listen to what happened. In verse 30, chapter 6, verse 30, it says this. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. See, they got energized and they probably wanted to do more and more. And Jesus said, oh, no, no, no. We need to step aside and rest. We need to get filled back up again. We need to reconnect and make sure we have what we need, and then we'll go out again. Jesus redefined what the Sabbath was all about. Did he keep the Sabbath? I'm sure he did, the way God intended it to be. But he also brought a Sabbath lifestyle to all of us, a way of walking in a rhythm of rest where we reconnect to God, we reconnect to our own souls, we reconnect genuinely to one another. That's what Jesus wants for us. That's what God wants for us. That's what we need in our lives. I know that there are many who are busy executives, stay-at-home parents, retired people who are volunteering, pastors, who are all running around. We're trying to get on top of things, and we're trying to do what we feel we need to do. And Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 26. He said, for what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? It's the busyness that disconnects us. And so I want to ask you today, how is your rhythm of rest in your life? How connected are you right now to God, to your own soul, to others around you? Jesus wants you to know the resurrected life, and it begins by being filled with the Spirit and walking in a rhythm of rest. Now, I promised you some practical tips and suggestions on how you might be able to do this. This is a moment where I actually wish we could say, you know what, let's just break into groups and just talk about this, because we all have different ideas. Some things have worked, some things haven't worked. So I encourage you, keep talking about this. Talk about this with your families and friends and go, I want this. How do I do it? But I'm going to share with you a couple things that I have been trying to practice ever since God began to awaken me what I needed to turn around. And so let me give you that. I just have four. First one is this: take a rest assessment. Each day, stop and take a rest assessment. How's your soul? Are you frustrated or are you feeling futility? Sometimes we think there's only two options. We might experience that all in the same day. Go, oh God, I have disconnected. I need to reconnect. And we do this by surrendering. We sang that today. I surrender all. We surrender our mastery of our own lives. Oh my goodness, it's so tempting, isn't it? We surrender that, but we say, God, I got to trust you that you will help me with this. You will take care of this. You will lead me forward. So take a rest assessment and then surrender. Second one is this. Try this, establishing a weekly Sabbath. A weekly Sabbath. Many people choose Sundays because we start the day at church. And I want to make sure you know, this is not an obligation. We come not because we should, but we come because we get to reconnect with God. Did you feel that as you worshiped? As we stand and we sing and proclaim the truth of who he is, something happens in us. We are ministering and loving him, but he also is reconnecting. He's helping us reconnect with him. And then we begin to breathe in a different way, and we reconnect with our souls. But we also reconnect with one another. We see how we're doing. We encourage each other. I love that we offer our services online. I love that. But I don't think that's what we're intended to do every week. We're intended to come, not out of obligation or should, but to reconnect. But then, as we have experienced this rhythm of rest together in this hour together, don't stop there. We walk out of here and we go, okay, Lord, help me keep walking in this rhythm of rest. And we take this day to enjoy one another, to play with our kids, to take our spouse on a date, to go out for coffee with our friends. Now, if you love laundry, you can do laundry on your Sabbath, whatever makes is enjoyable to you. But here's the key. Do it, but remember that word reconnection. God, my purpose today is to really reconnect with you and reconnect with my own heart and reconnect with those around us. And see what that does to the rest of your week. It's scary. It's countercultural. We think we got to keep chipping away at everything we need to do. Somehow, mysteriously, when we give a day to God completely, I'm telling you, the rest of the stuff gets done. I don't know how it happens. It's outside of this dimension. But God is faithful, and he will be so pleased that you give him this day. So try establishing a weekly Sabbath. Okay, the next one, unplug regularly. Okay, now I'm getting personal. Guess what? There's a new form of brick. It looks like this. About 5 inches, you know, about a brick size. And I just read that a pastor said this. He said, cell phones, listen to this, are the one thing that can connect me to someone across the planet and disconnect me from the people right next to me at the same time. Ouch. And I'm not just talking to teenagers. I'm talking to the adults, right? As I was reading about this and getting tips, because I need help. I get a little addicted to this thing. One of the things that was suggested is when you come home, put your cell phone in another room. You can go check it every hour, but it helps you not check it 37 times in an hour. The one who said this, he said, you know, I don't want my kids growing up remembering me just sitting on my phone and checking my phone. So put your phone in another room. Another idea is put a book that you've always wanted to read in your car. And when you go into the dentist or when you go into Discount Tires or something like that, take the book along and you will be amazed at how much you read and how much you enjoy it. Instead of sitting and going, okay, what celebrities have lost what weight? What odd size pools do they have? And you get done and you go, where am I and what am I reading? Try and do some things to unplug from this brick. You'll be amazed at how it starts to bring a rhythm of rest that reconnects. And here's the last one. Jesus, we believe, modeled a rhythm of rest daily. Practice reconnecting and finding a reconnection rest daily. Couple ways to do this. When my life gets particularly busy, I will grab my phone and I will put 3 different times of my day to set an alarm. And all it is when that thing buzzes, I go, oh, I got to stop and breathe for a minute. I just need to reconnect for a minute. God, you have me here. I need to reconnect with you. Where's my soul? Who am I not even looking into the face of? So try that. But one other suggestion is this, and some of you may remember this. I preached on this suggestion probably 4 years ago, and it's probably the number one thing that people still come and talk to me about. It's called the Tiny Challenge. And here's what it is. There was a woman from Tomo, Wisconsin. My in-laws knew this woman. She lived to 101 years old. And her nickname was Tiny. And when Tiny was asked how she was able to live so long, what were her secrets to life, her number one thing was she said, well, every morning I wake up and I swing my tiny little legs over the edge of my bed and I sit for 1 minute. And I breathe. Tiny was beginning her day reconnected, beginning it with a rhythm of rest. The number one thing that we all do is we grab for the phone, check the weather and the news and all that kind of stuff. Try this. Each morning, it's hard. I still get out of bed and move. Get out of bed, swing your legs over, stop and breathe and go, God, I'm reconnecting to you. Help me to stay connected to you. Help me to walk in a rhythm of rest. This is what I believe God was up to when he established the Sabbath. Jesus did not eliminate the Sabbath. He just expanded on it to a lifestyle of a rhythm of rest. And it is the rhythm of rest that reconnects us to the resurrected life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that you made us to be in a relationship with you. And Lord, it's hard. We've got so much stuff coming at us, so many good things that we could do. So Lord, we ask for your help, your mercy. I just pray for anyone today who could relate to those words, frustration and futility, that God, you will help them to lay things down and to experience freedom. And then Lord, for all of us, thank you for what you are up to in this church. God, we want the resurrected life. And so teach us and show us how to live that well so that we can go out filled up and bring the resurrected life to the world that so desperately needs it. Thank you, Jesus. You are good and you are faithful. In your name I pray. Amen.